What is, it's almost as like as if Christ saves the best till the last in the story, and because of that, you almost miss it. There is this innkeeper to whom the Samaritan brings the problem. And as a preacher, you can't just go by that. That's why you have to read the Bible in second gear. Never put your Bible in your mind in fifth gear when you read the Bible, because you got to stop quick. What? He did what? The innkeeper is very busy. He's going about his life stuff. He's acquiring all kinds of things. And the issue here is not, the parable's not teaching that the church sits on a corner and waits for Jesus to show up. The parable is representing the fact that all that the church has to do, Jesus brings to us. The truth is brought to us. Come on now. The message is brought to us. The organization is brought to us. The opportunities are brought to us. This parable is about assignments from God. And in this case, the assignment is to help the broken. Are you listening to me? I started my ministry in Mississippi, right at the peak of the Freedom Riders movement. In those years, the Adventist Church was very hesitant to get involved in the civil rights movement. I found that to be mysterious. Considering our assignment. And as a young black pastor in the Deep South, I had difficulty explaining why I was not out there marching and involved. So I did march and I was involved. When James Meredith was shot on the road near Sardis, Mississippi, I was in that group. I was there. I marched into downtown Jackson, two rows behind Martin Luther King and the rest. You see, one of the things you got to learn right now, before you really get out there and get involved, is that Christ chooses the assignment. And so this northern boy, who had never been called the N-word, who had never in his life been treated like he was not whatever, wound up in Mississippi. And there the broken were dropped in my lap. I had members that had no floors. No electricity, no running water. And like this innkeeper, the Lord used them to teach me. See, picture the innkeeper. The Samaritan brings him. Now, the guy's busy. He's not looking for problems. He doesn't need interference in his role of the day. See, a lot of you sitting here, the last thing you had in mind when you were born was that you would be a Seventh-day Adventist preacher. A Seventh-day Adventist worker. And somewhere along the way, the Lord stepped up in your inn and dropped life situations in your lap. Did not ask you, but said, take care of it till I get back. Is anybody listening to me? And so there I was in Mississippi in the midst of this situation, and I learned from them. I learned from them. I can remember having graduated from this place, having my first assignment with four churches, and going to visit one of my members in Hollandale, Mississippi. And I'm going there. I've got my dark blue suit, my brand new little car. I've got my MA from, didn't know an MDiv back in those days, my MA from the seminary, and my degree from Oakwood, and and I'm ready to pastor and to lift up everybody and to give them everything they needed, and I'm Pastor Wright, and I went to see Sister Washington in a little house. She had no floor. She had no wallpaper. I had my little Bible. I was going to encourage her how good the Lord is. And from the time I walked in to the time I left, she spent praising God for all of his mercies and blessings. She lived on $50 a month of Mississippi welfare. She had her potatoes in a hole in the ground in her house. No refrigerator, no electricity. And all she could do was tell me how good God had been. And I took my little proud, arrogant self out of her house, drove my car around the corner, and sat there and wept like a baby. See, when the Lord dropped this problem in this man's life, that problem taught him. I imagine when he first got there and the man said, take care of him, and if you spend more, I'll pay you back when I get back. And so he's keeping a record, how many Band-Aids, how much salve, how much medicine, how much trips to the drugstore, mileage, so forth and so on. But you see, in the process of that problem being there, time went on, the guy didn't show up, and now he's learning that the problem is not one to be calculated in costs. God doesn't care how much you spend. My starting salary was $48 a week. That's right, Lindsay. I didn't exaggerate. $48. He says, and whatever thou spendest more, that is, you're expected to do more than the church gives. Are you reading the parable? Yeah, I'm just exegeting the parable. And the parable suggests that you will do more than is required. $48 a week, y'all. Now, when I married Carol, my wife, I got a raise of $100 a month. Four churches, Dr. Highbeth, four churches, one 70 miles away, one 50 miles away, one 20 miles away, one church, Hollandale, nobody had a phone. So I had to drive down there and tell them I wasn't coming. You can't make this stuff up, y'all. My other church in Leland had no men. So a communion service for foot washing, you're going to wash my feet. I did. Somehow at the seminary, they didn't cover that in class. Doc said self-service. All right. I'll work that in my sermon the next time. You will spend more. You will do more. You will receive. You will suffer more. You will stretch more. He drops the problem in the innkeeper's lap. Take care of it till I get back. That's our assignment, folks. A whole world out there full of problems in the broken, and Jesus drops them in the lap of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and says, take care of it till I get back. The eschaton is there. Eschatology is in the parable. I'm coming back, but when I'm ready, not when you're ready. And I'm not coming back till you've spent more than you had in mind. You will sleep less, drive longer than you ever had in mind. Are you listening to the pastor today? It's a serious word from God. My second district, I had four churches, and then I was dumb enough to start two more, so I had six. I had the honor of opening the work, reopening the work in Natchez, Mississippi, and founding the first church in Woodville, Mississippi. I can remember one night, an ice storm hit, and I'm 120 miles from home, and I got on the Natchez Trace. And I get emotional when I talk about this stuff. I drove in the center of the highway, praying nobody would be coming the other way, for 4 hours, just trying to get home to my wife and my child. They can't pay you for that. Ain't no salary big enough to cover that. You do it. Because the assignment has been dropped at your inn. And you don't debate with a Samaritan. You receive the assignment. God does not ask your permission. He drops ministry in your lap. He expects you to do it. He doesn't care if you're afraid. He doesn't care if you're not a good speaker. He calls you. Then he empowers you. And then he says, you stay with it till I get back. When you're getting back, when I'm ready. Those early Adventists, upon whose shoulders we stand, expect that we pick this thing up and we go forward. See, I'm a pastor in the transition generation, Hi Beth. When I came in ministry, we were still writing our sermons by hand. Now the thought of doing that gives me a stomach ache. I use a computer, just like you do. I'm that transition from the days when we would pitch tents and preach for 8 weeks. I've done it time and time again. Most cities now, you can't pitch a tent, but the job must still be done. Are you listening to me? The Lord didn't ask the innkeeper, how will you do it? He said, do it. So Ellen White stands up in evangelism and says, we must be creative. Whatever ways work, we must find them. You are the generation now that must take this church to the next level. You must be inventive and creative, but the core does not change. Preach the word. In season, out of season, reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering. Your ways may change. You see, all organizations are built on myths, methods, and mission. Myths, what we believe. Methods, how we do it. Mission, what we do. What we do. But the methods are the one part God allows elasticity. The mission, he's not concerned about what you think. He gave it to you. The myths, you're not smart enough to figure them out, so he gave them to you. That's your belief system. Notice the text says, preach the word. It didn't say preach the word if you feel like it. And what we preach, what we do, you see, think about it. Gardner Taylor got it in his book. You got to write in his book, How Shall We Preach? You got to write. You got three problems when you preach. Three. You can't escape them. Number one, you're preaching on a subject you'll never understand. The Lord God, the plan of salvation. Number two, you're preaching to people who may know more than you. See, don't you think they're impressed with your D-men? That old Deacon Ben Reed and Sister White. For 60 years. And you can get up there with your fancy stuff all you want. But he's sitting there, and he's listening, and if you deviate one word from the old sister, come on, somebody. You got that old deaconess. She can't read no Greek. She don't need no Hebrew, and she ain't never heard the word eschatology. But she believes the Lord is coming back, and she plans to be ready. Come on, somebody. And so these folk are not, they're not impressed. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't study it. Oh, yeah, you should study it. I'm a studying fiend, folk. I study the word. I study the biblical languages. I like it all. I study it. But when I'm talking to my folk, I break that stuff down. See, you got to remember, the innkeeper in taking care of the guy had to take care of him on his level. He had to meet his needs where he were, and he wasn't where he was, and he wasn't just giving bandages and stuff. He had to comfort and supply and bring security and make him safe. You hear what I'm saying? You got some old folk out in them churches, they can explain that 2,300 days with the Bible closed. Know all the dates and stuff, and you getting up there preaching and trying to be, and you got your chart left up there, they going to sleep. They know that stuff by heart. Four things stand out. I'll supply. He gave him money to take care of the guy. I found that interesting. Now listen to my next statement. You'll spend your whole ministry trying to figure out why God only gives you just enough. He seldom gives extra. You'll learn. Seldom gives extra. Just enough. Oh boy. Then having just given you just enough, then he says, take care. With just enough. And then having given you just enough and saying take care, he says, you're probably going to spend more. And I like the way it's worded. It doesn't say, and if you spend more. It says, and whatever thou spendest more. Or the Greek says, after you have overspent. I will repay. Now, the problem with that last phrase is he didn't tell you when. Are you listening to me? I love the story. Let me ask the question again. I'm almost done. Are you an Adventist? Do you really understand what that means? It means consumed by the belief that he that shall come will come. And that, my friend, activates everything you do, every place you go, what you choose to apply yourself to. An Adventist is never off duty. And the thing becomes such a driving force to you that people can feel it in you. They can feel it in you. They can sense something about you. I told you about my lungs yesterday. My lung doctor, Dr. Libre, is a very interesting fellow. And he tests my lungs every year. Some of you don't know that the human lungs, if you spread them out, all the tissue in the human lungs, if you spread it out, it'll cover a tennis court. That's how much lung tissue you have. At most human beings, if they take a respiratory test, lung power test, you'll test out about 85%, maybe 90%, some of the best of you. I test out 117%. Let me break it down for you. I got more power in one lung than you got in two. I will repay. You're going to spend more. You're going to preach harder than you should, Henry. You're going to sometimes sit down with your lungs aching and hurting, but that's all right. I'll repay. I'll give you return that's not measurable. And so my doctor's trying to figure out how lungs that only open up 45 to 47% can produce power that's... I will repay. Listen to me. Don't worry about the expenditure, because the guy who repays has a bottomless pit for a bank. His power, his love, his grace, his supply, his protection is beyond measure. Just do what the Lord asks you to do. When he drops the ministry, the situation, the opportunity in your life, receive it. Don't try to keep score. Just work hard till he gets back, because he will repay. And boy, is the repay something else. I done read about it in my Bible. It's there. Streets of gold and pearly gates and robes that need no cleaning and shoes that need no polishing and fruit that doesn't need to be kicked and water that is pure. I done read about it in my Bible, and I believe it with all my heart. So I give him everything I've got every day. All my desire, all my passion every day. I don't worry about coming up bankrupt. He done told me the bank does not run dry. I will repay. Are you an Adventist? If you ain't, get off the ship. Don't weigh us down. Because Adventists are going forward, and we're taking a world with us to the kingdom of God.
Ask that you stand as we sing our theme song, Jesus at the Center.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. Be it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus,
sing that again. Jesus at the center.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus,
nothing else,
nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center.
Be the center of my life.
Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus.
Nothing else.
Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus.
From my heart to the heavens.
From my heart to the heavens. Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens. Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about
from my heart,
from my heart to the heavens. Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about
from my heart,
from my heart to the heavens. Jesus be the center. It's all about. It's all about you.
And Jesus be the center of your church.
Jesus be the center of your church. Jesus be the center of your church. And every knee will bow. And every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus.
Sing Jesus.
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 Sing Jesus.
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 On yesterday, we sought to reconnect you with the reality that you need your ministry more than the ministry needs you. Today, we sought to reconnect you to your roots. Folk, we're Adventists. That's who we are. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about the one thing that will keep this church from being successful. Now, we already know we're going to be successful, so it's a conundrum sermon. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about the one thing, the one big ace in the hole that the devil has. And I look at your faces, I see it. Talk about that tomorrow. But today, as we close, let's just celebrate that we have a mission. What do you say? And I'm so proud of you that you've decided to take it on. Come on, let's be monotonous. Let's join hands again across the aisle. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I cannot tell you how you thrill my soul. Let's pray. Jesus, you really are the center. Each one of us could tell an individual story We're just walking miracles is what we are. Most of us have no business being here. The fact that we're here on these grounds is a miracle itself. Some of us have stories that would just blow the rest of our minds. We shouldn't even be alive. And if alive, some of us shouldn't even have good sense. We've done things to blow our own brains, but you've kept us. Some of us have walked in dangerous places and done stupid stuff and enjoyed it. But here we are. We are amazed at your love. And then having been one of your biggest problems, then you've called us. Oh my. You have a wild way of thinking, Holy God. You've called us. And we have, out of the trepidations of our souls, said yes. First, for many of us, with resistance, but yes. And even having been called, we're here. Some of us not sure how we'll pay our bills, but we're here. We have no call formally to the church, but we're here. And we just believe that you, Lord, will make a way. So we study and we read and we pray and we make it because you are the center. So lift somebody's heart right now who's carrying a burden. Assure someone that you don't play games or tricks. You will make a way. And I pray, Lord, that every person under the sound of my voice will, on your schedule, become a part of this great army of Adventist workers, burning with a fire that cannot be put out. And we will work with or without pay. We will work trusting that you will repay. Now give us the strength to finish this day. In Christ's name, everybody said, amen. Love you. See you tomorrow. Is there a young lady in here named Taylor Trent? If she is, I'd like to meet her. Taylor Trent. Taylor, are you here? Where? Where?